Can you believe it? We finally arrived to December of 2019. Does that seem possible? It's crazy how fast this year has gone, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm sure some of you have already been brave souls and started to chip away at that Christmas list, maybe braving those long lines and extreme amounts of crowds to try to get that stellar Black Friday deal. Anybody that's bold and courageous like that? Well, we got a bunch of wise people. I went out and I did the Black Friday thing. Got nothing but three boxes of cereal and some packets of spice. And that's a wrong thing to buy on a day that's so crowded. But our family needed them and we endured. But December 2019. Some people are easy to buy for, aren't they? You ask them, what do you want for Christmas? And they're the type, they've already got a typed out, double-spaced page for you to look at and say, hey, here's all kinds of suggestions for me. But there are those that are harder to buy for. You ask them, what would you like for Christmas? And I don't know. I mean, I really don't need anything, but you just have to give me some time to think about it. And then it seems like with those people that you're asking, what would you like, that you just feel like you're constantly nagging them, right? All the way up to Christmas. Can you give me some suggestions about what you would like for Christmas? I don't know which person you are. Are you easy to buy for? Are you difficult to buy for? But I know when I was a kid, I couldn't wait for the Sears catalog and the JCPenney catalog to come out and to get to that toy section and to make my list of all kinds of toys that I could say to my grandparents and my parents and my uncle, hey, I wouldn't mind these kind of toys. I couldn't wait for that. But now that I'm an adult, I tend to be more the, let me think about it. I'll have to try to get back to you. And so what I've done, something that's helped me, maybe this will help you, is when you're going through like a project or something throughout the year and you're like, boy, it would be really nice to have this on hand right now. It's like a light bulb goes off and I go to my note app and my phone and I say, I would like this, whatever tool it may be or something. So then when the parents and others ask, what would you like for Christmas? I at least have some suggestions that are helpful for them. So as we think about gifts, spiritually speaking, friends, there are some gifts that you and then I need more than any other gift that will be wrapped and given to us this year. And through this season together as a church, we're going to be focusing on a few of those gifts during our time that leads up to Christmas. Today, as we worship the Lord around his table, we are going to be focusing together on the gift of grace. The gift of grace. And someone's defined grace this way: when we get what we don't deserve. That's grace. And we see grace in so many ways. If you were traveling this past weekend for Thanksgiving, and if you were eager to get to your destination, and in that eagerness, you noticed your right foot started to become a little more heavier than the other behind the wheel, and then before long, you see some flashing lights in your mirror, and then eventually, a few minutes later, the officer says, I'm going to let you go this time. Please slow it down. You know what that is, friends? That's grace. And no, that did not happen to me this week, in case you're all wondering. I do think I got a red light flashlight ticket, maybe, because my van was in the intersection when the light turned red, but we'll see. Time will tell. I've been praying for grace since that moment. But that's grace. When you're standing in line at a coffee shop, and it's crowded, and it seems like it's taking forever for you to get up to the counter, and all of a sudden the barista says to you, hey, sorry for the long wait. Thank you so much for your patience. Your drink's on the house today. That's grace. You've probably heard a teacher or a family member, maybe a friend or relative of some sort say to you, you better be good, because only the good kids get what at Christmas? Gifts. Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that as a child. I've heard that. Can you imagine if that was really true? Amazon would take a hit in revenue, wouldn't they? Right? I mean, they really would. Okay? I was not a good boy. I know that shocks you, right? But every Christmas, guess what? My parents and my grandparents and my uncle, they gave me gifts. I didn't deserve them. This grace. These are examples of grace, but friends, they pale in comparison to the amazing grace of God. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When you look at the truth of the Word of God here, friends, that is grace. That's grace. This gift was announced to Joseph by the angel of the Lord in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, saying to Joseph, "Son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's grace. Months later, the angel of the Lord announced this gift of grace to the shepherds. In Luke 2, they were out in their field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel said, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." That's grace. And years later, the Apostle Paul was writing to his friend Titus, and he wrote about this gift of grace in Titus chapter 2. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." In verses 13 and 14, it says, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." So when we think about this gift of grace this morning, this gift is what we need this Christmas. This gift is what we need not only this Christmas, we need it every day of this year. And church, we need it every day of the year ahead. In fact, this gift we need every day of our lives as believers. You could say it this way: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ truly is the gift that keeps on giving forever and ever and ever. Amen. Are you thankful for that? Amen. Each of us knows far too well that Christmas can easily become a time where we really don't focus on this gift of grace. There are some people who find Christmas emotionally difficult. Some of that's because they miss a loved one that they previously enjoyed so many Christmas memories with. Others wish that this particular relationship that they've had would be repaired because it's hard to enjoy Christmas knowing there's this riff that they have with someone else. Then you have those that just wish they had a relationship with a significant other, and they just feel lonely, and therefore Christmas is hard to celebrate alone. And then there's people who are so focused on work that they use the entire season to just push hard to get those last-minute incentives and all that overtime and all those bonuses that are available so that they can just shower their family with the most extravagant Christmas to date. Then there's those of us who can be so consumed with the Christmas goodies, we have to make sure the fudge is just right and the sugar cookies with the correct sugar icing and sprinkles on them are just perfect and melt in your mouth. And we have to make sure the ham is just perfect, and we have to make sure the sweet potato casserole is just the way it's supposed to be, loaded with all that caramel marshmallowy goodness, and we have to make sure that the homemade eggnog is perfect, and we just spend all month focusing on all the goodies and making sure they're all good, and we start to lose track of the grace of God and what this is all about. Some can get so wrapped up in Christmas traditions. We got to get through every single one of our favorite family Christmas movies, and we got to play all our favorite Christmas music on those vinyl records, because this is what we do every year, and we lose track of the gift of grace. We become obsessed with the decorations and making sure the gifts that we choose are just right. But all that I've just mentioned here, it can take our focus off on what Christmas is really all about. Christmas would be empty without God's gift of grace, friends. And if we fail to focus on Christ during Christmas, then we rob ourselves of true and lasting joy. So in order to avoid this, it's essential for you and me to concentrate on God's gift of grace. I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. If you're using the Bible underneath the seat in front of you, you can find verses 14 through 17 on page 939. But John chapter 1, just these few verses here, they really tell us, friends, what Christmas is all about. They record for us some truth that we celebrate together around the Lord's table this morning. So follow along as I read verses 14 through 17 in John chapter 1. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me.' For from His fullness," speaking of Christ, "we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The word is clear here. Without God's grace, there'd be no Christmas. God did not give us His word, the word, His Son, because you or I were good. He didn't give us the Lord because we were good. He gave us the Lord. Jesus became flesh. He dwelt among us. Why? Because of grace. Unmerited favor of God to humankind. And this message of amazing grace was prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. They look forward to this day when the child would be born. "For to us a child's born, to us a son's given. The government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's who Jesus is. God showed His amazing love toward us on the night when His Son was born on this earth and was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. God showed His amazing grace towards us by sending His Son to do this, verse 29, what John said, to take away the sin of the world. Our good and kind and loving God knows what's best for each one of us. He knows precisely what you and I need, and He knew and knows that we need forgiveness for our sins. And so He gave His Son to be our Savior. We don't deserve to be able to celebrate our redemption at the table this morning, church. We don't deserve to be able to celebrate Christmas this year, the birth of our Savior. But we get to, and the reason we get to today and this month is because of God's grace. Amen? Someone used grace as an acrostic, and it's so fitting. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. This acrostic is formed out of a key verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, think about that, he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Just stop and think and concentrate on what Jesus gave up to come to this earth. He left his holy Father in perfect communion and union with him to come and dwell among sinful humans. He left all the riches that the Bible tells us about heaven, and here on this earth, he's born in poverty. There's not one single gift that will be wrapped and offered to you that will make your life better off than the riches that God gives to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. Not one single one. Jesus graciously took our polluted garments of iniquities, and he paid the penalty that we deserved for our sins. He died on the cross. And we celebrate around his table this glorious truth of 2 Corinthians 5:21, that our living Savior has graciously clothed us as his children with the garment of salvation, with his robes of righteousness, this grace. And as we concentrate on God's gift of grace, look at verse 16 in John chapter 1. It says to us, from Christ's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. That's meaning all who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will receive one blessing of God's grace after another, forever and ever and ever. Amen? And so I ask you a hard question this morning as you listen. Are you a recipient of God's gift of grace? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And as you're thinking about that, and if you're not really sure if you are or have had a moment in your life where you truly did that, all that can change right here, right now, right where you're sitting. God in his great love is communicating to you through his word, and he's offering to you this morning the greatest gift that you can ever receive. This gift will provide you true and lasting joy. God's gift, it's not something that you or I deserve. It's not something that you or I can ever earn by trying to be good and do good things. The Bible tells us this gift is a gift of grace. It plainly puts it, it's by grace you've been saved. Through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. God is extending to you this free gift. His son Jesus has already paid in full for it. He paid in full for it with his blood. And all he requires of you as he extends it to you through his spirit and his word this morning is for you to respond in humility and say, yes, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm completely undeserving of this gift of grace. And I believe that your son died on the cross for my sins. And from that moment on, you can forever receive the eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what the Bible promises you. That's what God is offering you, friend, if you don't know Christ. If you've not received God's gift of grace, you need this gift more than anything else that you can possibly think or imagine. And so I urge you today not to leave church without coming to Jesus Christ and receiving the gift that he is offering you, eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. Not only is it essential for you and me this Christmas to concentrate on God's gift of grace, it's important for us to give others the gift of grace. John 3:16 is our example here. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And in the very book where John 3:16 is found, Jesus later is teaching, and he gives this command to his followers, and he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another." And in the very next verse, he says to his followers, "By this," by what? "By Christ-like love, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So when we think about John 3:16, God in his great love for us has given us a gift of grace. And then Jesus is saying to us, you and I as his followers are then to give others the gift of grace. Especially during Christmas. Think about who are the people in your life right now that you know need the gift of grace from you. We all have them. I mean, I think maybe this sermon is more for me than anybody here. If you're trying to think of some people, I can give you some examples, and maybe this will jog some of your memory of who needs grace. The person who did not give you a card or a gift last year, and you've been tempted to think this year, well, then I'm not going to give them a card or a gift because they didn't last year give me a card or a gift. You know what they need? They need the gift of grace. Do you know what the person who stole your parking spot as you circled that lot over and over looking for that one at the store, you know what they need? The gift of grace. Do you know what the person who comes to your house to stay over the season of celebrating Christmas and they take all your hot water from your shower, they hog your TV, you can think all the other kinds of things they do. We all have those people. You know what they need? The gift of grace. The person who overcooks the ham and undercooks the hot rolls at the Christmas meal, you know what they need? The gift of grace. The person who shows up to your party for Christmas time, they were supposed to bring the desserts and they bring one pecan pie that now has to be split 13 different ways. You know what they need? The gift of grace. The people who offer you unsolicited advice regarding maybe your life or your marriage or your parenting or your work. It's amazing how all that kind of stuff happens at this time of the year when you're together and celebrate. You know what they need? They need the gift of grace. The person that you're in a conflict with right now or maybe in some sort of disagreement with, they need the gift of grace. And I could go on and on and on about people who need from us the gift of grace. The bottom line is this, friends. You and I cannot truly say that we love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind and refuse to love our neighbor as ourselves. Another way to put this, church, is we cannot fulfill the great commission that Christ has given us and the great commandment that he's bestowed upon us. Making disciples, being disciples, if we don't give others the gift of grace. What we're talking about today, a way we could say it is this way. You cannot truly concentrate on God's grace gift to you and refuse then to give grace to others. Because if you truly are around his table today, concentrating and focusing on his grace, then you will know that you don't deserve it. You've received it, and you have a responsibility to then, as his follower, give it. So if you're saying, I'm truly concentrating on this and not willing to extend it, you're truly not concentrating on it. If this is where you're struggling right now, brothers and sisters, and you choose to live this way during the season, you're robbing yourself of joy. And it doesn't have to be that way. God has given us grace. He's provided us forgiveness for this kind of attitude. And he says that he will forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we would simply, humbly come before him at his table this morning and confess those sins. He promises us, I love this verse, Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But this is what I love. He who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And do you know mercy goes hand in hand with grace? That's our good and kind and loving God, willing to cleanse us and help us, empower us, enable us to take grace and to give others grace. If we come back to John 1 and wrap this all up, verse 14 tells us our Savior is a gift who's full of grace and truth. And when we yield to him, when we obey his commandments, we too then will be people who are full of grace. And when we become full of grace, then God enables us to be a gift to those that we interact with. I like hanging around people that give me grace, don't you? Amen. Let's be those kind of people to others. It's my prayer that God will use this Christmas as a tremendous time of spiritual growth in the hearts and lives of his people here at Faith Baptist. May he help us this Christmas to concentrate on his gift of grace and to give others the gift of grace. Father, thank you so much for this challenge from your word. Lord, help us not to allow the busyness and the traditions of the season crowd out Christ and to deter our focus on him and the gift that he is to us and the grace that he bestows upon us. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to concentrate and stay focused on the gift of grace and that we would be able to allow your action towards us to humble us and rely upon your Spirit to enable us to then give to others grace. We can't do this in our own strength, Father. We need your help. And so I pray that you would work in our hearts and make us more and more like your Son. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.